On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And as we look forward to 2019, our theme is insurance technology, or what we call today InsurTech, and the impact of InsurTech in particular on the independent agent and broker system. And part of our approach with this is to talk with folks who are on the inside of InsurTech, entrepreneurs, investors, insurance company folks. Our guest today is Peter McDonald, who's the founder and CEO of WonderWrite. Peter, thanks so much for taking some time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Peter. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a cool company you're building, WonderWrite, a play on underwrite. And for those who would like to check out the website, WonderWrite, WUNDERITE.com, WonderWrite.com. So, Peter, before we talk about WonderWrite and your take on InsurTech as we look towards 2019, tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, how you got involved in this business.
Yeah, so I'm from Cape Cod, which is a peninsula in Massachusetts. For those of the listeners who aren't on the East Coast here familiar with it, I went to school at Wheaton, Chicago, got a degree in math, and I traveled the world for 6 months on a shoestring budget until I came back at the end of 2010 and was wondering how I'd pay back a little loan to my dad that I took out when I was trying to make it from Egypt to Jordan. And he took the opportunity to have me work in his insurance agency and took that opportunity to show me the opportunity, tell me that there's a lot of baby boomers retiring, consolidation happening. And so that kind of got me started into insurance. It wasn't really what I was planning on doing, but I realized, yeah, it's a good opportunity. And so I started working at insurance with my dad's company back in the beginning of 2011.
What was your, Peter, what was your dad's company again?
So my dad's company is called Murray and McDonald Insurance. It's about a 20-employee brokerage doing a lot of personal and commercial insurance. Probably not similar to a lot of the typical insurance agencies, independent insurance agencies across the country. And so during that time, I got a bunch of insurance designations, starting with the CIC and kind of moving up to the Certified Risk Manager and the CPCU, and lobbied in D.C. with the industry, with the IIABA every year for a couple of years, and really kind of learned about the distribution and just how complex of an industry it is. It really takes, I thought it took me a lot of time to kind of figure out the ins and outs, and I'm still not an expert at it, but I definitely noticed a lot of inefficiencies while I was at the agency. One of the things I noticed was every time an older person who'd been here for 30 years was retiring, a lot of education went with them. A lot of what they had learned during their 30 years here and the value they brought to the customers was gone. You know, it's not every year that a tree slams through someone's house or an employee cuts a finger off and you figure out how to deal with that claim. And so just like that education and that knowledge of how to deal with the situation is passed when the employee leaves, you know, how do you onboard new people is one of the things I thought about in some of the efficiencies in the business. So that kind of led a little bit to WonderWrite and kind of the idea and the genesis for that.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me that you're one of a cadre. Maybe it's bigger cadre than I got to stop and think about this. But it seems like there's a lot of people who come into insurance by accident. A lot of times there's a family connection, but then they get into the agency and they have kind of like a I'm not going to put words in your mouth, Peter, but you're reminding me of something where it's like, there's kind of like a restlessness. There's a feeling that from the customer perspective, something is awry. It's not just at the agency. It's just the whole way of how the industry works. And it's not that it's a bad industry. It's just that we do some things that are kind of bad or slow or even silly and stupid and not very customer focused. It's more about jargon and less about helping people understand how great the industry is. So this restlessness, I feel like it's going to be a really good thing. I think a lot of people in InsurTech are starting from the inside out as opposed to Silicon Valley having all the answers. And so, sorry, that's not really a question, but I wanted to ask you, do you feel like I'm somewhat right at least, and that's what led to Wonderite?
Yeah, we have a strange lexicon. We use a lot of weird words in our industry. You know, we talk to our customers about claims and class codes and audits and liability and things that aren't really tangible, you know, versus, hey, your employee smashed your car. It's a lot more of an emotional, immediate understanding. And I think that the way that we use this abstracting language definitely makes things of a challenge to understand. And that being said, even having done the tremendous amount of education myself, I still find that I'm not an expert on everything that's out there. There's just way too many forms or contracts, insurance policies. There's just way too many insurance policies that are out there. You really have to be a niche specialist if you're going to, you know, be an expert at any one thing because it's such an enormous industry. I think last I checked, insurance, including property and casualty and health, is at 11% of GDP. I mean, it's just so enormous that no one person is going to be an expert. And I think that's one of the challenges that a lot of agencies across the country have when they're trying to onboard new talent is, you know, who wants to work in an industry where everything is built, all the systems are built on technology that's really, really old and on forms and terms that are old and not necessarily the easiest to use things that they're used to when they like online banking you might have on your iPhone in your pocket. So yeah, absolutely. Some of the inefficiencies that I found in my day-to-day, I just would solve with whatever technology I could put together. So I was talking to Jason Kass and his podcast maybe a year or two ago about how I built this internal Wikipedia-like dashboard for our employees, which my last year that I was really here full time, it had 30,000 internal hits. And I basically built the software just as a way to share institutional knowledge from employee to employee. And the reason was when I got here, if I asked somebody for, you know, how to do something, they would open up their filing cabinet, pull out a piece of paper, and they the paper was a photocopy of a fax that had someone's name scratched off and handwritten in and, you know, kind of listed out some steps to take. And I just thought, geez, this is crazy. And I'm not the most organized person with paper. So if you have a bunch of paper on my desk, it's going to get lost. So why don't I put it online in a way that I can access anywhere from my iPhone, from home, from the office? And then I realized that I was getting stuck updating this thing all the time. Anytime somebody wanted to change an underwriter contact or change a process, I was spending my time updating this internal intranet that I had made. And so I said, gosh, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I should let anybody edit it so that I'm not stuck doing everyone else's work because there's a lot of changes that happen all the time. And so I built this internal dashboard and, you know, just tried to use the tools that were accessible to me to make my life easier and ultimately spend more time working with customers.
Okay. So tell us about Wonderite.
So Wonderite. So when I started transitioning from selling personal insurance to commercial insurance, maybe a year or two, maybe a year after I started working in the business. And one of the immediate challenges I noticed right away was if I wanted to work with a customer, I had to collect a bunch of data. It's kind of like when you go to apply for a mortgage, you have to get your credit score and your employment history and your pay stubs and all these documentation. And as a young insurance producer, in my early 20s, I had no idea where to start. And I wasn't always an expert on businesses either. So if some of the terminology was insurance, some of the terminology was business related, I didn't always know what to get. And so we have this document internally, an Excel spreadsheet called a statement of values. And it's kind of a starting point where we'd say, okay, fill out this Excel spreadsheet, and that will kind of help you collect the data that goes into an ACORD form, which is an industry standard, you know, PDF that you fill out, you can submit to basically any insurance company, and they use that as a starting point to get an insurance quote. And so that statement of values is kind of this thing where I was always trying to optimize it, trying to make it look nicer for the customer to use, look nicer for me to use, make the template just look better. But quickly realized that while Excel is a fantastic tool, and it's really good at letting basically anybody with a computer solve some pretty simple problems in an automated fashion, it doesn't scale well. And the graphic and the display gets broken. A lot of times if you put some magic into your formulas, the magic gets broken pretty quick. And it's just not really built for a collaboration perspective. So maybe 2 or 3 years or after I started selling insurance to businesses and organizations, I started to have an idea of, well, what would this tool look like if I were to build it online so that when you put magic into the formulas, the magic doesn't break. So if you want to have nice templating that makes you look good to your customers, that templating doesn't break. If I want to have a customer's logo so that they know I'm aware of their brand, for example, I want it to be there. I don't want to have to find it all the time. You know, how can I just make that easy? And so that was kind of the start of WonderWrite. I presented at a few of the Accord Innovation Challenges in New York, but I really was focusing on, bringing in sales. My primary job at the organization as a producer was to bring in new accounts. And this technology was, the level of coding needed was the level I didn't have at the time. And I was really just focusing on what would the front end look like? What would the usability look like? If I had an iPad Pro and I can walk into my customer, what would this tool look like? And I just built up what I would call static front end. So that's an HTML page. It's kind of like a Word document in web language where things were styled and looked nice and were easy to use. And that was kind of how it got started. And then about a year ago, I started a full-time master's program at Boston College in business administration. And I really used that as an opportunity to really pursue this full-time. And got into an accelerator at Boston College. We did a business plan competition down in Texas at Rice University. It's the number one student startup competition in the country. And really, we just accelerated rapidly since then. I started coding this myself at a pretty intense level. And that's what I've been doing probably for the past 6 months, is just basically doing this full time. And so starting from the Excel spreadsheet and then moving to the static front end, to now having a dynamic backend where we're programming in SQL in a database language, which is much more conducive to collaboration. It's more conducive to sharing and interactivity and a whole bunch of things that I just couldn't build in Excel. So that was kind of how WonderWrite got started.
Okay. So from the broader sense, what should independent agents and brokers, I mean, you have a unique perspective having worked at an agency yourself and now working in technology as a startup and so on. So what advice would you have for independent agency owners who are listening to this and wondering where beyond their agency management system they need to be thinking about investing in, partnering with? Do they go to their carriers? Do they go to a conference like InsurTech Connect? And where are they going to, from a strategy standpoint, and then later on, where do we invest? I mean, because I think they're wondering and they're probably somewhat confused.
Yeah, Peter, that's a tough question. I mean, if I could answer that successfully, I'd probably build a really big agency. I was listening to a podcast of yours from a few weeks ago, What You Do With a Mulligan, and I'm only 30 at this point. I still think I've been in the business for 7 years now, and I still kind of look back and say, gosh, when I listened to that podcast, what would I do with the mulligan? Because I remember in 2011, I was looking at technology. I said, gee, Dad, why don't you just hire a bunch of like MIT programmer guys or gals to take some of this complex stuff and make it really simple. And he's like, well, if you could find those people, go do it. And, you know, he was kind of saying that because it's kind of tough to be an insurance person and then pivot into like a technology thing. But at the same time, I that would probably be the advice I'd have is if you can think of a way that if you can visualize, here's what I would like to accomplish that would simplify a process for a customer, and then I could do this at scale, maybe it's not a bad idea to try building it. I mean, certainly you can look for solutions. And the great thing about insurance, in fact, I told some of our employees this at a sales meeting before I started my MBA, I just said, guys, this is probably the most interesting and exciting time to be in insurance. I mean, it used to be, and it still is. If you're at a party and people ask what you do and you tell them that you're an insurance salesperson, they kind of might want to end the conversation or, you know, walk across the room and just turn around and leave. In fact, we've had employees that's happened to them, right? But this is the time when independent insurance agents have the highest valuations ever. There's a tremendous amount of influence. There's a tremendous amount of insurtech interest in the space, and there's write-ups happening all the time from Deloitte and EY and Y Combinator out in Silicon Valley. There's just a lot of interest. And so if there's an idea that you have or there's a technology that you're looking for, chances are you're probably not alone. And maybe someone else has tried it, or maybe you can get someone excited about it. So if you're a really driven, passionate person, I absolutely believe that, you can build this stuff. And I kind of laugh sometimes. We were down in Texas for this business plan competition. And, a lot of the business ideas that come out of these universities, these people are creating amazing tools. You think about all the technology that's out there, that's just light years beyond what we're doing. I mean, people are sending like small things to space. They're building, a whole host of different devices. All I'm trying to do is to take a really miserable process, which is the annual insurance renewal and quoting process, which takes up to 20 weeks, according to McKinsey. That was a real pain that I had, is I take my most valuable customers through this miserable 20-week process, like getting a mortgage every single year. All I'm trying to do is to take that process and make it a little bit more digital. Like that, like that's not that hard of a transition for technology. It's not like I'm making a Tesla or making a rocket or, making some cancer-curing device or whatever, some biomedical engineering. I'm not using CRISPR to edit DNA. I'm really just taking something that's on paper and trying to put it online. And so I think the good news for insurance people is there's lots of that's possible if you put your mind to it. And one of the advantages that independent agents have is they really understand the space. And that can be a really good thing. I think that this space is really complex and complicated. And so for outsiders, even when I'm out there talking to, different people in the startup community, it's hard to bridge the gap of zero knowledge about insurance to like explain what I'm doing. It's just tough. So I think one of the advantages that we have is we really get that lexicon. We get the language. I think one of the disadvantages that we have is we can be so short-sighted about what customers really care about. I think customers just want something that's simple and something that works, the right price. And we get hung up on a lot of other things as brokers. So I think, to answer your question, the advice I'd have is go out and try and build it. Go to the different InsurTech events. There's an InsurTech Boston event about twice a year that Mike and Alan from Mass Kodiak put together. It was the youngest insurance event I've ever been to. There were over 200 people. I think it sold out. And there's just a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of really smart people trying to hack away at this space. So that'd be my advice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking with the HR lead at a big carrier, big national carrier, and she said that when they're recruiting on college campuses and they're recruiting at job fairs and that sort of thing, they're positioning their company as a tech firm more than they are an insurance company. So in the past, we would say, "Oh, you can have a lucrative career as an underwriter, actuary, etc., claims professional." And now it's like learn about drones, learn about AI, learn about big data, and learn about home security systems via the internet, etc. And so it's interesting how insurance has always been about it should have always been about technology. In my mind, I think it is very cool what's going on right now, and perhaps that'll be the transition where people will look at insurance no longer as a distant, faceless, and personal industry that's concerned about numbers and profits and not with people, when in fact it's concerned with a lot more things. So a whole rebrand of the industry. Maybe this will be the driving force. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I definitely, and I like to share with people, I truly believe that insurance is a wonderful thing. And that's part of the reason I have, WonderWrite. It's wonderful in underwriting. My daughter was born at 34 weeks, so my wife gave birth at 6 weeks early. And that was the scariest thing I've done in my life. And I've been to a lot of countries. I've done a lot of stupid things. But that was by far the scariest. And when the insurance really kicks in as a product it's supposed to be, it's a tremendous thing. It's a wonderful product. And I just think there's a gap between consumer expectations and then the lexicon that we have and the things that we have in our industry. But the reality behind all that is that we are the original big data industry. I mean, we've always had the data. The terms have changed. I mean, it used to be statistics and then big data and analytics and all this. And you talk about artificial intelligence and machine learning. Insurance, we've had this data forever. In fact, and then you look at some of the purpose behind insurance too. I love to highlight insurance was the original industry behind the creation of fire departments. It was the original industry behind the adoption of airbags in cars. In fact, if you look at Allstate's ads from the 70s, they say, we'll cut your premium by a third if you have a car with airbags. And that's really how these innovations took off. So it really can be a fascinating industry that can drive change. It can put building codes in place to help save lives in the event of fires and emergencies. So there's a lot that is possible with it. I'm not sure if it will ever be the most exciting and invigorating industry for college grads, but it's certainly an industry with a lot of opportunity. It's a tremendous part of our society and definitely in need of a lot of change to make people's lives better. When you really think back to the end customer, like me and my wife when we had our daughter 6 weeks early. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, last question, Peter. As you look to 2019, what do you think will continue to occur, or what new things will occur in the world of InsurTech as carriers maybe becoming more comfortable working with InsurTech startups, maybe doing a lot of experimenting on their own? Some of these apps and startups have been around for now maybe 3, 4, 5 years. Will they continue to mature and take off, or would they die in the vine? I mean, where do you see it going? Because there's so much money coming in, billions of dollars coming into the insurance industry. It's the last industry that hasn't been, quote unquote, disrupted. But I feel like there's a lot of enabling going on too, enabling the agent and broker.
So, I mean, I could talk about a few predictions, but who knows? First of all, I don't really think brokers and agents are going to go away. And that might be a little controversial. People are always asking, are you trying to disintermediate the agent or the broker as an insurtech company? And my answer is no. I really believe they serve a valuable part of the value chain. And it's a complex value chain. And I don't think they're going away because they're the ones who talk to the customers. They're the ones who understand the industry. But certainly it's changing. And I do believe that the agents and brokers, the independent agents and brokers that will be here in the future, they may not be the same independent agents and brokers that are here today. I think the ones that are going to be successful in the future are going to be the ones who are embracing technology. But more importantly, they're embracing what is it that the customer wants. What's the end value for the customer? How do we make a customer's life easy, better, faster, simple? You know, with Wonderwrite, what I look at is, you know, every business out there, they all have online banking. But who has online insurance, especially for that small to middle market company? Most businesses don't have online insurance, and if they do, it's not really put together in a cohesive, coherent way. So with Wonderwrite, it's kind of like TurboTax for brokers. You go online as a customer, the broker can go online, and you collaborate together to build this risk profile. And once this profile is complete, and by the way, we're pulling in data from a bunch of APIs to streamline the creation of the profile. Once that profile is complete, we want to take the shopping process, which today is 20 weeks, and get it down to 2 weeks or less. That's the goal. We want to save the broker time. We want to save the customer time. We want to make things more transparent for both the broker and the customer to help build trust, knowledge, and awareness for the insurance product. So I think that companies that can help brokers deliver end-to-end value to the end customer, the purchaser of insurance, I think those companies will do well. Even if it's not necessarily the best designed product, as long as it's delivering some sort of end-to-end value, it's making someone's life better, easier, faster, simpler, whatever. So if it's a drone in the sky that's going to speed up the time that claims get paid, you think about the hurricanes that happened a year ago down in Texas and Florida. If you can have a drone that's going to help speed up claims payments, if you're going to have, you know, they talk a lot about chatbots. If you have a chatbot on your website that makes it more interactive and can help guide agents and brokers to connect with their customers better and faster. If it's an application on your phone or a website that's just easy to use for customers, I think customers today, they're expecting that. And so any kind of tool that can help build real value for the customer, something that's different for the customer, I think those things will do very well in the future. And I think the independent agents and brokers who embrace those tools and really come to use those tools, I think they'll also succeed. So that'd be a prediction of mine for the future.
Okay. Well, again, Peter, the company can be found at wonderite.com, WUNDERITE, wonderite.com. And I wish you all the best. Thanks for taking some time to be with us, and we'll follow your travels and travails and successes and maybe failures, but that's what it's all about, right? Learning from failures and picking yourself up and moving on despite the odds. I think it's a great industry, and people like you make it fun. So, again, thanks for sharing with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thanks for having me. And I think what makes it fun for me is meeting all the different brokers and agents that are out there who've worked hard, and you know, they really know a lot about feet in the ground and the people, the end customers we're serving. So thanks for having me, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Okay, brother. Thank you.